This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
Well, happy Independence Day weekend to all you independent thinkers. Of course, that's our nod to July 4th. That reminds me more of Monty Python than July 4th, though. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. Welcome to Free Thought Radio.
And that's the Liberty Bell, John Philip Sousa's Liberty Bell. And we're all celebrating something. I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. We're all celebrating independence from something, from the tyranny of lordship and kingship. In my case, after many years of being raised in a strong fundamentalist evangelical family as a strong believing Christian and minister, I 26 years ago became independent from religion. I was a missionary and an ordained minister. It didn't happen overnight. It took a while. I tell the story in my book, Losing Faith in Faith and in Godless, about how it was like a revolutionary war. You know, we didn't just break away from England in this country. It took a while to fight. And in my case, I gradually fought and shifted across that spectrum. Came, I like to say, I threw out all the bathwater, and I found out, hey, there's no baby there. So congratulations to all of you who are listening, who may have been indoctrinated at an early age in religious mythology. Congratulations for having the independence of mind to examine the claims for yourself and to think for yourself.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a national group of atheists, agnostics, and other free thinkers. And we work to keep state and church separate. And we also work to educate about non-theism. And we do think that it is vital that those of us who are non-religious make some claim on those vaunted public airwaves for non-theism. You can turn on the radio or TV 24/7 and be preached at. And religion wins the PR game by default. And so it's time for those of us who are free from religion to flex our muscle and to get out there and publicize our views.
It's not just default. They've got a ton of money that they can buy this time with.
That's right. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting on more than, I think it's 23 stations nationwide, and we'd like to get on the air in many more communities where there is no rational radio alternative. So ask your local program manager to look into us.
Today's show, we have a little bit of a lot of things here. On the second half of the show, we'll be talking with the author and professor Ronald Aronson. He wrote the book called Living Without God. You may have seen some of his op-ed pieces from time to time in the New York Times. And we'll talk with Professor Aronson about the next step. Once you think your way, once you gain your declaration of independence from religion, then what? How do you build a country? How do you live a life? Professor Aronson has some good ideas about living a godless life.
And we'll have some news coming up, a little commentary.
But first, we want to talk about, we had a very rare thing happen. We actually had a little vacation last week. We met all our deadlines and we snuck away to New York City for 3 or 4 days.
Well, it's actually to celebrate your 60th birthday, Dan. So happy birthday.
Actually, I'm not 60. I just turned 15 for the fourth time. And a lot of people tell me I act like that. Thank you, Dan Ginsburg, who is still 15, I think.
And but I bet you felt like a teenager looking at Lucy's fossils.
Well, I went to the Lucy's Legacy exhibit on 44th Street. You know, Donald Johanson, the paleontologist, discovered the bones in Ethiopia, Lucy, and there's all these books about it. In fact, we plan to have him on our show one of these days. On June 24th, Lucy's Legacy opened in New York City at the Discovery Museum. And right next to the Titanic Museum, it's there.
It's basically right on Times Square.
Yeah, it's just right there. And it's gorgeous. There's this huge exhibit about Ethiopia. But then you go into the fossils and the amazing fossils, almost 400 fossils of the Australopithecus afarensis, which is what Lucy is.
And how old is that fossil?
3 million, 3.5 million in that ballpark. a very near ancestor to humans and apes and chimpanzees. It's kind of our great-great-great-grandmother of all of the primates.
And we also went to the John Lennon retrospective that Yoko Ono arranged at the Rock and Roll Museum in Soho, and that was very nice.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's a fun museum. You see all the signatures and you see all the rock and roll music, but there's that...
You can see John Lennon's manuscripts. He typed up a lot of things so on a typewriter. Some of it was handwritten on hotel stationery.
His handwritten Imagine is there. And you can also see the handwritten, his song God, which we played on this show before, where
he says, have to play it again.
I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in Buddha. And Yoko Ono made a point of making that one of the exhibits within that exhibit.
And that it was one of his favorite. One of his own compositions. And there's family footage and things like that. It's very interesting. But I thought what was most moving was that Yoko Ono, has put up a sign saying that since his murder in 1980 by handgun, by a nut, a religious nut, that more than 920,000 Americans have lost their lives to handguns violence. And she has... saved his eyeglasses.
That he was wearing the day
he was
shot.
That he was wearing when he was shot. They're bloodied, and it makes quite a statement.
And it's a controversial exhibit, but that is the truth. And there's a wall where you can write things, about the John Lennon exhibit. And what did you write on the wall? You wrote Above Us Only Sky, right?
Something like that. I forget.
And I wrote Imagine No Religion, so we made our little comments.
So if you have a chance this summer, look in on those exhibits in New York City. And I want to give a special hello to the clerk at the Women's Boutique on 3rd Avenue in New York City, who recognized my name and voice when I made a purchase there and told me she loves Free Thought Radio. So we love to hear that.
That happens here in Madison a lot, but is that the first time it's happened to you?
In New York City,
in New York
sure.
City? Well, now we have some news. You know all about the Appalachian hike that South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford took. He hiked all the way to Argentina last month to visit his mistress. In his press conference, he apologized to his staff. He was out of touch for several days without telling them where he was or apologized to his wife. He should do that. He did apologize to his wife. He should do better than that. But here's who else. Listen to who else he apologized to.
Let me throw one more apology out there, and that is to people of faith across South Carolina, or for that matter, across the nation.
So now I really am offended. I think Governor Sanford needs to apologize to all the people of non-faith in his state, and for that matter, across the nation.
But I'm here because if you were to look at God's laws, they're in every instance designed to protect people from themselves. I think that is the bottom line of God's law. That it's not a moral, rigid list of do's and don'ts just for the heck of do's and don'ts. It is indeed to protect us from ourselves. And the biggest self of self is indeed self. That sin is in fact grounded in this notion of what is it that I want as opposed to somebody else.
Well grown.
Well, that's one of the problems of theology, especially Christian theology, is that you're not really accountable to human beings. You're accountable to God. And if you can say, I confess my sins and God washed me clean, then I'm fine now. I'm just fine. Look at all the sinners in the Bible who became, like he quoted David, you know, from Psalms. And look what David did. He had Bathsheba's husband murdered. And yet he is a wonderful man. So it kind of absolves people of any real accountability in the real world.
And maybe it's also to say that people are full of sin, born in sin, is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And is it a surprise that Sanford is part of that creepy clique, the family, which runs a fundamentalist boarding house for born-again politicians in the Washington, D.C. area?
As the Washington Post noted, at least five congressmen lived there at this place, quietly renting upstairs rooms from an organization affiliated with the Fellowship. The Fellowship is the obsessively secretive Arlington spiritual group that organizes the National Day of Prayer Breakfast, which is an event routinely attended by legions of top government officials. Other politicians come to the house for group spirituality sessions, prayer meetings, or to simply share their troubles. Among the members of Congress that live there is Senator Ensign of Nevada, who earlier in June admitted that he had an affair, too.
It must be something in the water.
Maybe they're not praying in that room. Maybe they're swapping their little black books. You know, they're getting together and say, hey, who do you know? A lot of hypocrisy with Sanford, Governor Sanford, sanctimoniously taking public pot shots at President Clinton, voting to impeach him over his sexual misconduct, saying that Clinton should have resigned, heavily resisting the idea himself now that he's been caught.
Sanford apparently never lived at the C Street House there in Washington, D.C., but he's a visitor who went there for Christian Bible study.
Apparently he studied some of those many X-rated verses that are in the Bible.
And apparently one resident at the house familiar with both Sanford's and Ensign's philandering had tried to get them to both end their affairs, so it's quite a born-again soap opera. And we have more pleasant news now to report, which is that the Freedom From Religion Foundation put up the first ever non-religious billboard ever placed in the state of Alabama the past week. It's up there for a month. If you're driving from Birmingham to from Birmingham or Atlanta to Talladega, it's on the I-20 by the Riverside exit. It's on the right-hand side. You can't miss it. It's a 14 by 48 foot billboard that says, "Imagine no religion."
Of course, that's the words from the John Lennon song, "No hell below us, above us, only sky."
And we wanted to get a billboard up in time for the Lake Hypatia Advance. It's not a retreat, which is maintained near Talladega by the foundation's chapter, the Alabama Free Thought Association. And in time for their glorious 4th Independence Day weekend bash, which is happening right now as we speak. And so here's some TV coverage from the local ABC TV station in Birmingham, Alabama, about what they called the impious billboard.
It's believed to be the first billboard of its kind in Alabama.
His largest atheist group put up 30 billboards around the country. One of them is in Pell City. And in a state with many religious conservatives, it's getting a sometimes chilly reception. The Night Team's Anna Jason has that story.
As you drive down I-20 East toward Talladega, just past the Riverside exit sign, is a 14 by 48 foot colorful board emblazoned with the message, "Imagine no religion."
A lot of people didn't even know that there was an atheist group in town. And they do now.
The impious billboard was put up by the National Freedom From Religion Foundation. Local chapter president Pat Cleveland says it's not to recruit, but to educate.
Well, how do you get to know about it if there's not something to indicate, though? It's more like a member information campaign.
A way to let all Alabamians know an atheist and agnostic association exists in the Bible Belt.
There are people of no religion in Alabama. I'm one of them. I was raised in a religious environment, and I found that it was harmful to me.
We're a bunch of Christians. I mean, if you like the neighborhood, get out.
Some devout Baptists say the sign is offensive.
It's not something I want to see. It's not something I want my kids around and being brought up to believe. It's pretty country, yeah, but when you go to messing with religion, you step in people's backyards.
But other believers say it's harmless.
If the Constitution said that we can have freedom of religion, you also have that freedom of religion. But that's your business. But when it infringes on me, I know who I believe in. A sign don't make any difference.
That billboard is expected to be up for at least a month.
So you caught that reference. If you don't like the neighborhood, get out. We are getting some very nasty emails here in Madison, Wisconsin. So... but it's out of Alabama, but it's very important to educate.
We'll be right back to speak with Ron Aronson, author of Living Without God. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio.
My name is Lynn, and I am from the suburban area near Chicago, Illinois, and I am on Free Thought Radio.
Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio.
Happy Independence Day weekend. The foundation's complaint over Christian prayers in Lodi, California, which was handled by our staff attorney, Rebecca Kratz, has created a tizzy there, and there's been a lot of news coverage, including this local CBS TV station.
All right, the city of Lodi is gaining national attention over what they do before every city council meeting. Now council members are debating whether to pray or not to pray.
Andrew Luria is in Lodi with the controversy.
The issue was raised by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They're based in Madison, Wisconsin. They're calling for the Lodi City Council to follow its own rules and change the way it prays.
For decades, the Lodi City Council has started its meetings the same way.
Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus.
But the Wisconsin-based Freedom From Religion Foundation wants to do something about it, especially one specific reference.
The city council is frequently invoking Jesus Christ in their invocations during their meetings.
We ask this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen.
None of the rules refer to anything regarding Jesus Christ, the historical person that many of us believe is God.
The city's own bylaws say that an invocation is acceptable, but that it must be non-denominational.
We just would like members of the faith community that do provide the invocations, we'd like them to abide by the policy.
And invoking a specific deity like that is a direct violation of not only federal law, but California state law.
The invocation prayer is done on a volunteer basis, primarily by leaders of Christian-based churches. But the city says any religious leader is welcome. Bill Cummins has done the prayer multiple times, including the last meeting. He was reminded to abide by the city's rules.
They asked me to avoid it, and so I did. You can use other terminology, obviously, without saying those two very controversial words, Jesus Christ.
Since the reinforcement of rules, another pastor declined to take part. At the August 5th meeting, the city council will decide how to proceed, to just let the issue be, to reinforce the current rules, or to change the rules altogether.
And what was infamous was that one of the city council members said that this was a Christian nation and the prayer should be Christian. And they went to a lot of Muslims and Jews and non-religious people in Lodi who were very offended.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. We'll be back after the break to talk with Ronald Aronson, author of Living Without God.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio.
Ronald Aronson grew up in Detroit, educated at Wayne State University and UCLA and the University of Michigan and Brandeis University, where he earned his PhD in the history of ideas. Like our president, he once worked as a community organizer, in his case, in the African-American neighborhood of New Brunswick, New Jersey. He participated in the Freedom School, organized in the aftermath of the student strike at Columbia. He's taught at Wayne State since 1968. He's now a distinguished professor of the history of ideas in the Department of History. 1987, again in 1990, is a guest lecturer at the University of Natal and other South African universities. The story of his first experience in South Africa at the height of the struggle to abolish apartheid, it's told in Stay Out of Politics, A Philosopher Views South Africa. In recognition of his career and political contributions to South Africa, he was awarded the honorary degree Doctor of Laws by the University of Natal, Durban, South Africa, 2002. Ronald Aronson has written or edited 9 books. He's an internationally recognized authority on Jean-Paul Sartre. His latest book is called Living Without God, New Directions for Atheists, Agnostics, Secularists, and the Undecided. It's published by Counterpoint last September of 2008.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Professor Ron Aronson.
Glad to be here.
And we're glad to have you. I read much of your book. I was trying to find it today, but somebody borrowed it. I think it's a very popular book, Living Without Gods. A lot of us, like me, and maybe we'll ask you your story too, but a lot of us came out of religion, kind of like the United States of America came out of a tyranny of the Lord and the Master and fought a revolutionary war. But then how do we live our lives? What about you? Were you raised religious or were you raised non-religious?
I'm a third-generation atheist. My grandfather, a Jewish immigrant from what was then Russia in 1885, did the heavy lifting. He broke with religion when he got to the United States.
Oh, those Russians.
Yes.
Well, I'm a third-generation freethinker. On my mother's side of the family, that was Scottish. But same idea. They did the heavy lifting. So yes. So when you were growing up, were you interested in the question of why religion dominates society, or were you sort of indifferent?
I was kind of indifferent. I was happily indifferent. Although with a Jewish background, I was sort of always puzzling about my connection with my Jewishness, which is still alive with me today. But it was a connection, because we have that tradition, that had nothing to do with religion.
It's kind of like me with my American Indian tradition. We love the songs and the dances and the beadwork and all that, but we don't really believe a turtle went down in the water and brought up a bunch of mud and formed the continents. You know, we don't
right.
believe those things, but it's in a strange way, it's kind of precious to us to have had that heritage.
That's right. That's right. And I think as with the Europeans today, Swedes, for example, who are not at all religious, but who are part of a society that once was, and they still retain some connections to that.
Now, you've been involved in a lot of different kinds of social movements. You're still very active, organizing against the Iraq War and so on. But what drew you to this issue of educating about secularism and, what it offers society?
At one point, about 5 years ago, it became clear to me, and this was just before the spate of books by the New Atheists, it became clear to me that we, secularists, non-believers, atheists, freethinkers, had lost our historical self-confidence. If we were asked questions about what we believed, we could give complicated, lengthy answers which were not convincing to all of the feverishly religious people around us, and we had lost a sense that we were the wave of the future. And I started puzzling over that. What happened to that self-confidence? And I realized my way of dealing with it and trying to restore it was going to be to think through some of the key issues about what is involved in living without God, and try to restore the self-confidence for today, for the 21st century.
Well, I don't know. Annie Laurie has always seemed pretty self-confident about her lack of faith.
He's speaking in generalities.
Yes, I'm speaking in generalities.
Okay.
I mean, because it used to be, what used to happen was, this goes back to Robert Ingersoll, it goes back to Clarence Darrow, it goes even back to John Lennon's song, Imagine. There was a belief that the future belonged to us, and the world was going to get more rational, it was going to get less superstitious.
Progress.
Progress, the Enlightenment.
And so if you met somebody in, say, your neighborhood who was religious, you bumped into them, they knew you socially, didn't know you were an atheist, and was surprised, and they'd say, aren't you missing something, or why are you an atheist, or how do you stay a good person, what would you tell them?
Yeah, that's why I wrote the book, because that's exactly the question. It's not just why I don't believe religion, but what is it that I do believe? And I would say that life without religion can be as deep, as connected, as meaningful, as coherent as anything any religious person proclaims, because of the whole, the worldview that I've been working on, that an irreligious person has to develop in order to get their bearings.
Can't you just believe in chocolate and coffee and jazz music?
You can, as long as someone isn't assaulting you with life after death or with the richness and meaningfulness of life with God or our connectedness as children of a Lord and Master. I mean, these are powerful notions. These are powerful concepts that I think we need, how shall I put it, our own replies to. And if we have alternatives to, we have to work them out.
In your book, you make a strong case for humanism, a positive humanism as a philosophy and a social idea, as a way to deal with life.
Yeah, but it's a humanism that's based on, well, I guess maybe that is humanism, our connectedness with nature, our connectedness with the whole of human and natural evolution, our connectedness with the cosmos, our connectedness with human history and with society. So it's a humanism that is sort of very rich and very deep and very complex, and it involves saying we belong. We're not atoms in an indifferent world. We're part of a very meaningful, coherent universe that's a human universe.
And the feelings that we have are natural, human, basically animal, biological feelings, and they're valuable for their own sakes.
Yes, they're natural feelings. Exactly the point. They're appropriate feelings, a feeling of belonging, a feeling of meaningfulness. These are appropriate feelings for our dependence on forces beyond our control and our dependence on society and our dependence on other human beings.
Well, if that person you bumped into said, what makes you a good person without God, what would you tell her?
I would laugh, first of all, because it's a false, it's a bum rap.
Governor Sanford has God, right?
Yeah, Governor Sanford has God. Exactly. I mean, it's a joke. As Mark Twain once said, you know what an atheist is? An atheist is someone who's good for nothing. And what he meant by that, obviously being one himself, was that non-believers do not try to be good because they feel threatened with punishment, which is, you know, this person on the street is going to be asking me, well, if you're not going to get punished by God, why would you ever be good? And the answer is, for its own sake.
Of course.
Well, because I'm a human being. I live in society with others.
Well, I think that's very well said. And we're going to be right back to talk with you. What do we have coming up, Dan?
Well, we're going to take a little break. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. This is Free Thought Radio. And since this is the weekend to be patriotic, to celebrate our independence, not just from religion, but from another tyrannous nation, some of you might be pledging allegiance to the flag. And if you're going to do that, be sure you do it right. Say the original Pledge of Allegiance, by the way, which did not have the phrase under God in it. And for proof, definitive proof from the highest constitutional scholar in the country, we have a newsreel from 1939 with proof of the original Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And that's Porky Pig being both secular and patriotic.
And one nation, indivisible.
We'll be right back to talk some more with Professor Ron Aronson about his book, Living Without God.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Protect the First Amendment. It protects you. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. For those of you just tuning in, you're listening to the conclusion of this week's Free Thought Radio. And our guest from Detroit, Professor Ron Aronson, author of the book, Living Without God. And Annie Laurie, read the subtitle of the book.
It's New Directions for Atheists, Agnostics, Secularists, and the Undecided. So, Professor Aronson, what are those new directions, and what's the future of secularism?
Well, one new direction is, as we talked about before the break, secularists really getting in touch with the sort of deeper and meaningful directions of our free thinking, that is to say, our connectedness with each other, with nature, with history, and really living that out. And that's kind of a new old direction, because it really is part of what some of the key thinkers, key free thinkers, always had in mind. That's one thing. After, we all live after progress. We all live after the hope, which now is a fantasy, that without, first of all, people were becoming more and more rational, abandoning religion, abandoning superstition, and as they become more rational, less hypocritical, just human life would get better. And that was...
Well, I still think that.
You do?
I do.
But it ain't happening.
I'm a hopeful person. Well, but actually what's happened in Europe is now happening here slowly. We see 15% of the population is now non-religious. That's the largest growing segment in the population when you look at religious identification. Isn't that cause for hope?
Sure it is. Sure it is. And it's important to stress that, and to especially stress it against the sort of media campaign that's constantly saying nearly everyone believes in God in the United States. That's simply not true. There are, as I wrote in a piece recently, no less than 40 million adult non-believers. It's huge. So that is reason for optimism.
And it's progress. Yeah.
And that's progress, but it's happening awfully slowly.
Mm. Yeah, in this country.
Yeah, but,
but, you know, we just come out of 8 years of a regime that was very hard on free thinking, very hard on separation of church and state.
Sure, but we entered into a new regime that is better, but is sort of ambivalently better.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you your opinion on Barack Obama and his thoughts on religion that we're hearing quite a bit of, and especially the faith-based partnership that he has, you know, he's kept going, basically, the Bush administration's faith-based initiative.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of us, of course, supported him because of his intelligence and his apparent secularism. But after all, as I've been writing in op-eds for a couple of years now, he virtually ignored this huge nation of free thinkers and non-believers and secularists during the campaign last year. Detroit, Labor Day, 08, the beginning of the official campaign, Obama, in a 9-minute speech, mentions God and prayer 6 times and ends by asking the audience of 100,000 people to join him in a silent prayer for potential victims of Hurricane Gustav. If you're a non-believer in that audience, you were treated as invisible.
Well, in that audience, it would have been 15 to 20,000 people.
That's right. Who had to get used to being polite.
Right.
And treating, right?
We're always being polite, aren't we?
Yeah, right, and we should get sick of being polite. One of the things in our that's called for today is, like I'm doing in my book, is philosophy. We've got to get clear what we positively believe. But there are two other P's after progress. In addition to philosophy, a secularist philosophy that's coherent, we need a sense of our own presence in this country, that we are 15,000 people in every 100,000.
Well, that's why we're hoping to take a bus sign campaign to Dearborn, Michigan soon.
Absolutely.
And trying to get these billboards up around the country, because it really is important to show that we're here.
And to stand
right
up. Yeah, I remember you were in South Africa, and I remember back in the 70s thinking it was impossible to imagine the end of apartheid. But look what happened in one quick, important generation.
That's right.
And what could happen in the next generation with apartheid from religion in this country?
Right. So you've got to get to the last chapter of my book, which talks about South Africa as a basis for hope, because that's absolutely right. That sense of struggle of, first of all, coming out, outing ourselves, identifying who we are, losing our shyness, losing our politeness as women have done in the past generation, as gay and lesbians have done in the past generation, saying, hey, We are visible. We're real. We identify ourselves with each other. I walked down a local street in Royal Oak, Michigan, next to where I live, last Saturday night, and someone was standing on the street corner saying, with a big sign saying, "Ask me why I'm an atheist."
Wow.
And I was so pleased and proud of him because he had the guts to stand there and out himself and be positive and to engage people in conversation. That's new. That's happening.
Did you ask him?
Oh, we talked. We had a good conversation, wow, followed by an email. So that we need that sense of our presence, that piece. Thirdly, and this has to do with Obama and the faith-based initiatives, we need to get into politics. We need to support the Secular Coalition, the Freedom from Religion Foundation. We need to press on the issues that are not only our issues as freethinkers, but, you know, if you think about it, are really the issues of a lot of liberal believers as well, the separation of church and state.
Ronald Aronson's book is called Living Without God. Sorry to cut you off there. We're running up to the break here. Living Without God, New Directions for Atheists, Agnostics, Secularists, and the Undecided. Thank you so much for being on our show today, Professor Aronson.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio. We also want to thank our engineer today. His name is Dan Ginsberg. Free Thought Radio is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin.
And call 1-800-335-4021 for more information. Join the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Go to ffrf.org. Our June-July issue is now available. Ask for a complimentary copy. And please tune in next week for more blasphemous radio and rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting. And
or you can also listen online. Go to ffrf.org/radio and sign up for the podcast
and
as well.
And thanks for listening.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker. I hope